News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
807 FM Talk 106.5. We lean on American Idol contestant from years ago, Leroy Wells from Dan and Bila Battery, with the statement about the truck.
Let me know what's the deal. Am I in? Am I not?
Is the truck in or is it out?
Is not.
It's out.
I'm sorry. I was trying to do that in Leroy's voice. Yeah, the truck is now out of the tunnel, according to the text line.
Am I in or am I out? Okay.
Thank you for letting us know. The truck, the big slowdown in the Bankhead. It wasn't in the Wallace this morning. The Bankhead, and it appears that they have now moved that truck out of the way.
You know, you try to do the right thing. You're thinking the Wallace Tunnel, I-10. You know, there's always the chance you're going to have a problem there. Around the tunnel, around trying to get into Mobile, there's where you have the curve, there's where you have the accidents. So you do the right thing and you take the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got a guy gunning it at the entrance.
Yeah.
He's got to know, I can't get through there, man. Aren't there like a bunch of signs saying,
Yeah. One texter said, ask John Daly how to get it out.
Yeah.
That's where my mind always goes. Anytime anyone gets stuck in the Bankhead was that time years ago when John Daly was driving his RV. I'm sure he had a cigarette in one hand and probably a Diet Coke in the other.
Yeah.
And jammed that thing right into the Bankhead.
Bourbon and Diet Coke. He walked around to the front and whacked it with his driver.
That's right. Got it right out.
Probably something like that. 8 minutes after 8 o'clock, the text line is alive and well, 251-343-0106. And, of course, you can also call us, too. We're turning up your voice. I'd love to hear what you've got to say this morning.
And, of course, a lot to get into on, well, basically every stage. The international stage with what's going on in Russia. Also, the Chinese Olympics are on the way. I'll tell you who is in support of the Chinese Olympics. Many calling it the Genocide Olympics. Have you seen that's the new nickname there? Also, later on, an update on the Alabama meth squirrel from a few years back.
Limestone County.
Remember, yeah. I think the name of the squirrel was D's Nuts. So we will give you a behind the scenes what's going on in that life. But
you just say what you want on this station, don't you?
I guess so. But we're getting a lot of texts about the Trail Maid story. And now, I know this won't affect us in our day-to-day lives, at least most of us, unless you're a trail maid. But there was a pretty big pushback, and we heard it right here on the station yesterday, as Monday during the Mobile County Commission meeting, Commissioner Randall Dewitt said, hey, the Senior Bowl has not invited the Azalea Trail Maids out this year. And keep in mind, the events start, I believe, this weekend in a way. There is an HBCU combine, I believe. I might be a little wrong
on that. This coming weekend?
I think that's this weekend.
I think it is too.
Then players arrive
Sunday
that are on the Senior Bowl roster Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't know much about the Senior Bowl, the game is great, but that's not where their fortunes are made in the NFL. It's all about the week of practice. And of course, last year was the first year that the game and the practices, well, the practices had been held out at South's campus before, but last year was the first time that the game was held there, and they also hold practices there, and that's a huge part of the deal for the players that are coming in. But as far as the game day experience, I don't think I've been to a Senior Bowl where the Trail Maids have not been there. I mean, you think about all the years that it was at Ladd Peebles, and they have that row of seating. They put out all those folding chairs, and the Azalea Trail Maids sit there once they're part in the pregame festivities is over.
Well, in the 50s and into the early 60s, they allowed the Trail Maids to play in the game.
Did they?
In the fourth quarter when the scrubs came in.
And none of them got hurt, or did he earn a contract?
There was a pulled hammy or two.
Yeah.
A broken wrist back in 59. So the Trail Maids are going to be there, so we can all now,
rest easy.
We can't rest easy with so many other headlines out there, but in a way we can. But here's what I'm asking. Let me just take the opposite side here. Okay, I've emceed Trail Maid events, all right? So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Popular, iconic, historic. 1929, you said?
1929,
right?
Yeah.
Do you punish an event because they don't invite the Trail Maids? I mean, where's that line stop?
Mm.
Now, you can say, look, they've been there for years. They're part of Mobile. I get that argument. Suddenly, them being uninvited, I mean, an invite is an invite. You get to choose your guests. Evidently, You don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Senior Bowl, you know, they had the audacity not to invite somebody.
Right.
All I'm saying is it kind of works both ways. You can talk about cancel culture all you want, right? Mm-hmm. If you do it and say, hey, man, you're gonna boycott the Senior Bowl? You're going to take funds away from the Senior Bowl? Over the same argument, the Trail Mage should be there.
Yeah,
I
see what you're saying. That's kind of doing a little bit of cancel culture on your own.
Exactly,
right? Is doing that. But I think the issue here is kind of similar to, well, we know that nationally there's been a major push to change basically anything that has to do with
the old South,
remembrance of the old South.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's the names of bands like Lady Antebellum. They changed their name to Lady A. The Dixie Chicks, no more Dixie, they're just the Chicks. And we saw it with the Admiral Sim statue and Mayor Sandy Stimson. They saw that something, that there were groups that wanted to come and vandalize that statue. The mayor and his administration took it down. It's now in the History Museum of Mobile. I think what Mobilians and really people in this area are sick of is other people coming in and saying what needs to be done or doesn't need to be done in our neck of the woods, right? It's kind of like someone coming to your house and saying, oh, you've got this couch in the wrong corner. You need to move it over there. You need to do this and do that. I think the issue is that people feel the NFL had a major hand in this, and they don't like where the NFL is headed politically these last few years. Now, we've talked with Jim Nagy, the executive director, plenty of times over the last few years, ever since he took over for Phil Savage as the executive director. And Nagy, he has family that's been in Mobile for a long time. He's been here for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm. He married a Mobile girl.
But I think a lot of these decision makers in the NFL obviously don't have ties to Mobile, except for when they come down. And there was that worry for a long time that they would move the game from Mobile to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial reasoning was because we kept playing the game at Ladd Peebles Stadium. So they changed that. And at the same time, it wasn't North or South anymore. And you can think of all of those Saturdays over the years where they introduced the players from the North first, and you have a lot of Big Ten players, and I think some of the Pac-12 players are over there. And then the South players come up, and you've mm-hmm. got all those Alabama players and all those Auburn players and SEC players. And the South team would always get the big pop. Right? Well, they changed those names. It wasn't North and South anymore. I think they changed it to what? National
and American.
American. And I don't know if I was in agreement with that decision, but I saw where they were coming from. And I think a lot of people say, hey, they're doing the same thing now with the Azalea Trail Maze. They're trying to take Mobile out of the Senior Bowl instead of the Senior Bowl out of Mobile.
I get that. I do. I get that. I'm just asking, can any other entity or event be punished because they did not invite the Trail Mates? I mean, are your expectations that the Trail Mates have got to be there? That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it that, okay, you're feeling like, okay, here comes this Northeast culture or whatever, and they're trying to tell us how we're going to live, and we don't like that. At the same time, is it okay to punish an event for not inviting the Trail Mates? That's a little heavy-handed to me. Sit down, work it out. And I think that's, in the end, maybe that's what happened. But there were just political staging and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
And we're looking at it at the macro level, too. Think about the micro level and a lot of these young women who, it's a big deal to be a trail maid.
Sure.
To be named a trail maid. And I think it comes with
It's an investment, too.
It is. An investment in time and money. And it comes with a lot of advantages when you're applying for colleges and things of that nature. So we're getting a lot of texts on this. We'll hit some of those when we get back here on the text line, 251-343-0106. The truck has been moved out of the Bankhead Tunnel. And let's talk some Putin when we get back also. Some Vladimir Putin, on in Russia.
You're using that as a verb. It's 8:16, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Talking Putin more than any other news station in America.
Maybe.
Huh? 8 to 21.
I want to get to some texts before we get into the latest in Russia and that great guest that Jeff Poor had on yesterday, Francis Martel. One of my favorites.
So good.
Some of these texts about the Trail Maids things. Has there been a statement made from the Senior Bowl why the Trail Maids weren't originally invited? No, I've not seen that statement, and I don't think they have to. I mean, if you invite them before the game, right?
That statement's not coming.
Philip says, honestly, what isn't cancel culture? If you do something to make your boss mad and he or she decides to cut funding to you by firing you, is that cancel culture too? I would say, I guess, I don't know. I've never been too hot on the cancel culture either way, you know. There's been, but I can understand where a lot of people on the right come from. It's almost like a, well, we didn't start it kind of thing. They started it.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do the same to them and hit them where it hurts. I totally can see where a lot of people come from. I just maybe I don't have the energy or the fortitude to stick through with some of these bans where I'm just like not feeling it enough.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe you don't have the opportunity to actually affect a situation, but I take that back. I mean, you know, we're on the radio every day. We probably could affect the news more often than we think.
Yeah, possibly. And definitely on the text line, too, when you tell us what you're thinking. Isn't the Dixie Chicks changing to just Chicks sexist? Yes, 100%. I would say, I don't know.
I should put him the hell in jail.
And I don't think the Dixie Chicks lost more fans when they changed their name. And that Lady Antebellum may have, but the Dixie Chicks had pretty much already lost most of the Republican country fans that they had.
Agree.
David says, Dan, you're certainly correct in the fact that private events can invite whoever they want and not invite whoever they don't want. However, if those private events take public money from the city and county, then they should invite the city and county's goodwill ambassadors to their event. Otherwise, don't take public money. I don't know, is that written down in some constitution somewhere that if you take money from the city or county, you have to?
I don't think it is, but I think it's just politics, and he's probably right on that. And all I'm saying is, you know, I'm just being playing devil's advocate just because I
like the Trail Maids.
I love the Trail Maids more than life itself. But what I'm saying is, this being forced to do one thing or the other, doesn't sit well with me.
IT Jesus says, tell the Democrats to stop buying Volkswagen because it's tied to Hitler.
Yeah.
They want to pick and choose which things horrify them as if they have such a privilege. And then back around to our Bankhead study, Chris says, I have a CDL. Do you know what kind of an idiot you have to be to drive into the tunnel like that?
That's my man right there.
Also, Philip said, anytime they do CDL license training, do that training class, they should have a picture of the Bankhead with a circle and a line through it. He said, this is dumb.
So you were saying, like, even like a guy's taking his CDL test in Spokane, Washington, and they have a picture of the Bankhead tunnel?
Yeah. Like, if you're ever traveling in the Southeast,
careful.
Avoid the Bankhead.
Here's a trouble spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a remarkably low IQ, this could cause you a problem.
Exactly. So Jeff Poor had a guest on yesterday, Francis Martel, and as Russia continues to amass troops and ammunition along the Ukrainian border, things are looking, or at least sounding from the media around here, that it looks like things are dire. But then we saw Kiev when Biden started saying, hey, things could pop off at any minute right now. Russia could invade at any second. And they said that Americans needed to leave the country. They didn't think that they'd be able to get the Americans out of the country if war began. They said, we need to leave the embassy. Well, Kiev yesterday said, hey, what are you freaking out about?
No kidding. So Francis Martel is an international affairs writer for Breitbart News. This is amazing because she is telling us, you know, from her perspective, our media is just drumming this up to a hysterical proportions, she thinks, considering what the real situation over there is. This is some of what she had to say.
The frustrating thing to me has been the coverage in the United States has been absolutely hysterical from corporate media saying, you know, we've got to send troops to Ukraine. And then you've got this, like, troubling pro-Putin part of the American right that just are, you know, like the Tucker Carlson, Glenn Greenwald people saying, you know, Putin's not that bad. We shouldn't go to war there. And then you have, in the middle of all this mess, the Ukrainian government, who has not requested U.S. troops at all.
How about that? I mean, that's some perspective on this thing. And the news, television news, so often, it is just, it's scripted to be divisive, entertaining, whatever you want to call it. They want people to watch the news.
Yeah, and drama sells. And, you know, they affect a lot of things, the national media. And they are told what they need to push a lot of times by the administration that's in charge, or of course the big money that's floating around. And I don't know why we would. I understand that things are looking like Russia may invade at any moment. Well, they said there are about 125,000 Russian troops along the border. They're in Belarus, which is a very Russian-friendly country. Mm-hmm. You've also have the fighters in southeast Ukraine. When in 2014, Russia...
They're already there.
Yeah, and Russia will tell you, well, those aren't Russians that are fighting on our behalf down there. Those are just upset Ukrainians. But those are, you know, pro-Russian forces that are supplied their ammunition and probably even training from Russia itself.
No matter what news you're watching, Fox News and or NBC, CNN, whatever, consider what we've been hearing, well, just the administration too, straight up just what's coming out of Washington, D.C. from the administration. Consider what we've been watching and hearing and the level of concern, I guess you'd say, as opposed to what Francis Martel has to say is going on in Ukraine right now.
And so to me, that disconnect between the American corporate media yelling at each other about should American teenagers die for Ukraine, which is not, no one's even debating that, versus Kiev saying, we don't want troops, we don't want any of this, we have no reason to believe there's a heightened threat, and all we want is these sanctions that no one wants to talk about. I think that disconnect is a big problem.
Hmm. Yeah, so, and, you know, you kind of think U.S., Russia, China are the three superpowers right now is what it sounds like, right? Well, that's partially right. You have the U.S. and China. But if you look in terms of GDP, Russia's like the 11th country there, and a lot of their money comes from oil. And that is probably what's going to keep NATO out of this is Russia's deals that they've cut with Germany and with some of these other countries. I know that the UK, they're worried about where they're going to get their oil if things start to go down. Mm-hmm. The US yesterday said, hey, we'll take care of you if this starts in Russia. But Germany, they have no interest in getting into this with Russia because they get a lot of their fuel from there.
Yep.
And I guess my big question is, after these last 2 years, everything we've heard about the virus and all of the different lockdowns that have gone into place, and we know that a lot of the media and the administration have just been either outright lying to people about what's going on or trying to cover their own tracks with mistakes they've made. So is there anyone out there who is like, oh, the media is lying about everything? They're lying about the vaccine and this and that. But then once this comes out about Russia, they go, oh, they must be telling the truth. This must be really
pick and choose
a
what you
dire
think is true.
Circumstance
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it actually isn't as dire as it seems. I was reading an article yesterday. They said President Vladimir Putin is the only one who can stop a major war from occurring in Europe. And this article, I'm trying to think, I think it was in the Atlantic. So it was a pretty left publication there, but they said a lot of people like to think that he's measured, he's this former KGB agent, that he's a lot more suave and savvier than a lot of other world leaders. They said he has a temper and he'll do a lot of things just at the drop of the hat without really thinking about it. And they were pointing to the last time the Olympics were in China was when those pro-Russian forces started fighting in the Ukraine in the southeast. Mm-hmm. And since then there have been many ceasefires that have since fallen to the wayside, but they go on and off in fighting. Remember, Obama was in office then, and they basically led this like hashtag online campaign to keep Russia out of the Ukraine. It didn't work.
I was going to say, it didn't work.
So what does Putin have to gain here? Well, he has more land if he gets Ukraine, and he'd have an easier route through with those pipelines. I don't know. IT Jesus says if you give Putin Ukraine, then Georgia is next. So a lot of people say, yeah, we can't let him have this. But a whole lot of people said, we don't need to get into another war.
830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. Good morning.
835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great here. Tell us what's happening in McConnell. Bit of a chilly day today.
Right now, I'm trying to figure out why we traded in. Trying to get them rode up, get them in service. We traded a couple of Tahoes and a couple of trucks yesterday. We got plenty of four-wheel drives, half tons, three-quarter tons. I even got a one-ton pickup truck on the used car side. We've got a few unsold Yukons and Sierras coming in. If you're looking for that, call over there at the news car side, 251-476-4141. Ask for one of the salesmen over there, and they'll tell you what they got coming in, and put a little deposit on it, and it'll be yours when it gets here. And, you know, they're not they're coming in at a pretty good clip. Hmm. They're not coming in, unfortunately, for Mardi Gras this year, but they're coming in better than it has been.
That's good to hear, Louie. Also, if someone's wanting to sell their vehicle, how do they get that done?
That's right. 251-476-4141. Ask for Gene Stuckey. He is the buyer, and he will put the right figure on the car, and we'd love to have your vehicle.
All right. We appreciate it. Have a good one, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And, of course, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Nice little text from Houndstooth in Mobile, who says, I know you two idiots, I guess he's talking about us, aren't from Mobile and can't possibly understand why we want the Azalea. No, he's missing the point. Anyway, let me finish his text. Why you wouldn't possibly want the Trail Maids at the Senior Bowl. It's because they've always been there, and we in Mobile love that the Maids. If you and Dan don't like it, why don't y'all and the Senior Bowl go to Jacksonville? Well, one thing, that's one of Dalton's favorite cities. That might be that could be the career break of his freaking life right there. Anyway, how about that you...
Dip blanks. Dip blanks.
For that, I would say thanks for listening.
Houndstooth. Calm down.
Or calm up. I don't care. Call. I would love that. 251-343-0106. God bless you for listening. Who's the idiot?
Yeah.
We're on the radio. You could take us or leave us. You've called us a number of things that, you know, I wouldn't call most people. You're listening, bro. So thank you very much.
Well, I just don't think Houndstooth listened to anything I had to say, if that's how he feels.
Or me either.
That I've felt about it.
Exactly.
You know, I love the Trail Maids. I've looked through my phone right now, and you'll find multiple pictures with my children sitting with the Trail Maids.
Oh.
Bellingrath, USS Alabama, wherever I've seen them.
I've emceed Houndstooth. When have you ever been to, I don't know, the University of Mobile and been in front of hundreds of people emceeing an event about the Trail Maids?
Yeah.
Because I have.
Yeah. The question was, you know, is it that big of a deal that they weren't invited to the Senior Bowl? And I said, yeah, obviously it was. There was a huge pushback.
Right.
But
I was just devil's advocate.
Whatever you want to hear, buddy.
I was just devil's advocate saying, do they need to be invited to anything and everything, or should they be punished? And I get the Trail Maids are a big deal here. So it's just, I hate the fact that, I don't know, I get it. Politically speaking, they were able to get what they wanted to get, and they got the Trail Maids back there. All well and good. All I'm saying is I would hate to be any sort of an event where I was told, hey, here's what you got to do.
Yeah.
I guess Houndstooth likes to be told what to do.
I guess so. Let's see here. If you give Putin Ukraine, then Georgia's next. That's what IT Jesus said. So I think with the Russia thing, it's obvious that whatever's actually going on over there, and it could be, you know, really close to war, right? Russia and Ukraine, and they've been fighting for a long time in the southeastern part of Ukraine. But I definitely agree with the argument that the administration would rather Americans focus on what's happening thousands and thousands of miles away, and whether we'll jump into another war or not, then focus on what's been going on here at home, whether that's inflation or
Trail Maids, Houndstooth
Trail Maids, or, you know, how about the fact that that virus that Biden said he was going to shut down, nowhere near shutting it down. There, I think, as many people hospitalized as there were in January. So Biden has failed basically on all fronts. So why not get everyone to focus on what's going on in the Ukraine instead?
Well, when you hear Frances Martell's explanation of what she thinks happening over there, that's kind of what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And it's a disingenuous press, a disingenuous administration leading us into some sort of hysteria. And it's, you know, we got to do better.
And you also have the Olympics coming up. And this is a big deal because, well, the Olympics are being held in Beijing. And who have we been fighting with, not literally in war, but over the last, well, at least 2 years, but longer than that, it's been China versus the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
And we know that they've been, it's communists, you know, that are there, and they treat their people horribly. They've got the Uyghur Muslims that have been enslaved in these concentration camps, slave labor, you know, people working for scraps, basically, over there. But it seems the rest of the world is just fine and dandy with them having this big month-long advertising campaign with the Olympics. And you've seen Canada and you've seen the U.S., say that they're going to do this diplomatic boycott. It came out that actually some within the administration are actually going to go to China anyway, even after saying that there'd be a diplomatic boycott. So a lot of people lining up and saying, hey, it's not cool that we're doing the Olympics in China. But then you have Putin, who spoke yesterday about the boycott of the Olympics. Putin says it's demonstrative and then lamented what he called the politicization of sport. He said, I consider the main goal of these competitions to attract as many citizens as possible to sport and the strengthening of friendship between peoples. These approaches are shared by the organizers of the upcoming games. We support the traditional Olympic values above all, equality and fairness. And he called on his nation's athletes to rigorously observe all medical instructions and requirements at the games. But he's basically saying that this is all posturing from the U.S. and others, and that they're just basically putting on this mask that they actually care what's happening in China. What do you do if you're an athlete? We've seen many an outspoken athlete, well, especially here on our own shores. I mean, there have been in Olympic qualifying. Remember the shot put? Female shot put athlete who did she not stand for the anthem? Something like that during qualifying where she turned her back to the American flag. So you have plenty of American athletes who are fine with showing their disdain for America. How many are willing to put their own athletic careers on the sideline, something they've been working for their entire lives, making it into the Olympics, and say, hey, I'm not cool with the human rights abuses in China. I'm not cool with how they do things, and because of that, I'm not going to go. I don't think we'll see very many athletes step out.
No, I don't either.
Most are going to head on anyway.
No, I don't either, and you're right. That was here's the thing, though. Remember one thing that was pointed out during those qualifying? There were the majority of athletes were very respectful to the flag.
Of course, yeah.
And respectful. And so what got called out were the handful or less,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the outliers, for sure.
You know, I by and large, people that live in this country get it. They understand that they but you wouldn't know it if you watch a representation of life in America. That seems to be part of the disconnect as well. Whether it be Ukraine or whether it be, you know, discourse sells. And so if it's shoved down our throats day in, day out, you start to think that's what America is. But that's not what America is. It's not. And so every time those examples are the highlighted examples, it kind of turns stomachs.
What do you think? What's your opinion on whether we should send athletes over there? Or do you think the U.S. should just stay out of this whole thing?
You know, this whole thing just kind of, you know, we have so much going on, like you say, with the coronavirus. Not to make excuses. At this point, you know, should NBC be glorifying it all?
Hmm.
Bob Costas, the last one you would expect to speak out.
Yeah.
You know, an NBC Employee of the Month, probably. and of course,
and ultra-left-leaning.
Ultra-left-leaning. So, you know, at this point, I mean, they're probably there. Go ahead and let them do their thing. But any way we can... You know, it should have been addressed earlier, I guess, is what I'm saying.
I don't think that the Olympics will be a big deal for very much longer. No. I think their ratings were awful last time. And maybe that's because it was an off year. Remember, they held it in Tokyo a year later. But we know
go the way of horse racing. Like, at one time, boxing was a big, big deal.
Yeah,
and
I love both of those sports still.
But it's kind of like baseball almost. It's become a regional sport, whereas the overall national pastime love for baseball is basically no longer there. And you could see the same thing with the Olympics.
I think so. And we know they're bought off, the IOC. It's just like FIFA. And we knew this when they awarded the Olympics to Qatar, wasn't it? Or was that the FIFA World Cup? I always get
that was
confused,
the World Cup.
Okay.
I think that the high temperature, remember that they came out and was like, okay, they're going to be playing soccer outside. And the high temperature
50 degrees
is usually like 112.
Yeah.
During that time period that the FIFA World Cup is going to be at Qatar.
So the IOC's bought off, we know that. And I don't think the Olympics are going to be a big deal for very much longer. By the way, We're going to talk with Jeff Poore when we get back. I do want to get a quick update in here on the meth squirrel from Limestone County.
Absolutely.
You might remember 2019, a man was arrested and had admitted to giving his squirrel meth. Even gave us the name of that squirrel. You might remember it if you're listening, the name of the squirrel. We'll talk about that. The update, a behind the music kind of thing with the meth squirrel from Limestone County.
846 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, good morning. Real feel-good session this morning for sure. 251-343-0106. Probably best on the text line at this point because we're about to talk to Jeff Poore.
That's right. Before we get to Jeff, though, headline, Alabama man accused of keeping meth-fed attack squirrel faces new charges. Mm. You might remember that story from 2019. Well, now the trial of the man from Limestone County who allegedly kept his squirrel supplied with meth to make it attack people has been delayed. Didn't they, the name of the squirrel, right? Wasn't it D's Nuts?
Yeah.
Wasn't, I think that's the name they
D's
came
Nuts.
Out with for it. The man's name, not the squirrel's, is Mickey Joel Polk, and he was supposed to have trial beginning yesterday, but that was delayed. He faces charges for possession of a wild animal, stolen property, and possession of a weapon by a felon. He was arrested back in June of 2019. That trial now delayed until February 28th. And he was also even arrested again last year. Mm. Get this, meth charges.
Oh, boy.
Remember, though, there was a whole manhunt for this guy back in 2019.
I do remember that now.
The drug bust in Athens, Alabama turned up meth, ammo, and body armor. And they also found a caged squirrel. And authorities, when they had the search warrant out, they were told Polk fed meth to the animal to keep it aggressive.
Be careful with the squirrel, right?
And then the sheriff's office said they released the squirrel into a wooded area. The quote from then,
where he mugged another squirrel.
From Sheriff Mike Blakely, there was no safe way to test the squirrel for meth. And then that, of course, grabbed national headlines. And the criminal released a video the day after the bust with the squirrel that he said was the same one released by sheriff's deputies.
This is all coming back to me now.
D's Nuts. So there you go. Trial delayed for squirrel meth. D's Nuts.
What
meth squirrel.
My attention was you referred to him as the man from Limestone County, which sounds like a John Wayne movie.
Yeah.
The man from Limestone County. Jeff Poore. Jeff Poore Show follows us. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. The sheriff, Mike Blakely, now incarcerated, I believe, for his own misdeeds.
That's right. I forgot about that. So lots of heroes in that story.
That's my old stopping grounds. WVNN Huntsville. Yeah, the station's actually in Athens. It's not in Huntsville.
I would say lots of corrupt people up in that.
Crimestone County is what they call it.
Crimestone, okay.
That's good. Well, a lot of local news to get to for you today, and I want to ask you about a couple of those. First off, who do you have on the show today?
Coming up, we got Jerry Carl, congressman from the 1st District, coming up in the first hour. Second hour, Brad Presnell, he's a political consultant, but his game is Oppo Research. We're going to get his thoughts on the whole Mike Durant saga and how that was played and how he would grade that. 11 o'clock hour, Paul DeMarco, show regular. We'll talk about the lawsuit, the federal court ruling on the redistricting. I think that's still apropos. And then finally, Sean Ross, our usual Wednesday guest, will be with us.
Yeah, so the news that the federal judges said, hey, that redistricting map that you put out there, that's not going to work. That was pretty big news yesterday, or I guess late Monday night when that came out. Where do we stand now? I mean, it seems like the legislature, specifically the committee that does this redistricting, they're in a bit of a crunch now because it took so long for these census numbers to come in. Then they finally put the map together. Now they're told that map apparently won't work. I know they want to appeal, but there's not much time left before a lot of these races, before people head to the polls.
I'm told since it's just seven districts they got to draw and only seven members of the congressional delegation they got to deal with, this could happen fairly fast.
Okay.
They'll be able to meet the criteria of the federal court's ruling and make it happen. It will still get appealed. But I you know what? Talking to some of the membership in the legislature, they say bring it on. They think that if they want to water down the 7th Congressional District and try to create a second Democrat district, that voter turnout, voter participation among Democrats in the state is pretty abysmal, that they think that they could pick off that other congressional seat, put Terry Sewell in jeopardy, and we could potentially have seven Republican members that you send to the U.S. Congress from Alabama.
Did I hear this? Was there any chance the state would be divided into eight districts?
No, you only have a proportionment. You only have seven districts. So, that was the fear, right, that the census was going to show that we hadn't grown enough and we were going to lose that congressional seat and only have six. So it's going to be seven no matter what.
Okay.
And so, I was thinking that exact same thing, Jeff, that you have one district that Terry Sewell has won so many times and that if you do try to, change those lines, that might put her in jeopardy. I wasn't sure of it until you mentioned it here. That's big news. Does it put anyone else in jeopardy? Jerry Carl down here in AL1, do you think he would have a tougher time winning re-election if they change these maps?
Only if they do this. They're going to have to make up for that territory somewhere. And some of the maps that are being kind of floated out there would put Barry Moore and Jerry Carl in the same congressional district. Right. And there's, to be fair, there's people in the legislature that just don't like Barry Moore. Barry Moore, former member of the legislature, they would like to see him, and they'd like to see Jeff Coleman or somebody else be in that seat, that they may draw him out, force him in a head-to-head incumbent race with Jerry Carl, which neither of those guys want. But, it's certainly not out of the realm of possibilities at this point.
While we're talking about Congress, Nancy Pelosi says she's going to take another crack at it. Is that good news for the Republicans or bad news?
I'm skeptical of this. I think Pelosi had to say that she was going to run again just because she needed to save whatever chances are left for Democrats to hold on. I wouldn't be surprised because she's this kind of person. She'll just say what she needs to out of political expediency that she's running again. And then when Democrats get schlacked in November, she will announce her retirement then.
It's not a given thing that she and Schumer, even if they do win re-election, that they'll still hold those roles that they have now. Is that given, or do you think they're going to have some competition?
Because Pelosi had agreed. Now, Schumer's a different case. Schumer and Dick Durbin, that's where you got to look. But on the House side, mm-hmm. I think certainly that she agreed to only do two more terms when she was speaker last time. There's people ready for new leadership. People are kind of tired of Pelosi. They're going to find out it's a lot harder than they think it is, and you're going to have real turmoil in the Democratic Party. But if somehow by some miracle the Democrats are able to pull it off, I think you'll have somebody different. Or if they don't, you'll have somebody different as minority leader, but you'll have somebody different as House Speaker as well.
Very interesting. Well, looking forward to the Jeff Poor Show. It starts in just a few minutes. And Jeff, thank you for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Jeff, also kudos for Francis Martel yesterday. She's a great guest who brought a little sensibility to what seems to be hysteria about Russia and Ukraine. So, yeah. Love having her on, man.
Hey, yeah, thanks for that.
Be listening in just a bit. It's 859 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, we have given it our all. We're like the guys doing heave-ho down at the tunnel.
Getting I'm the truck spent.
Houndstooth, we love you, man.